This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Stephen St. John, live at the Sports Radio 810 broadcast booth across the street from T-Mobile Center, right at the entrance of the Miller Lite Fan Fest, where a truck almost hit our broadcast booth. But yeah, they're parking it right here at the entrance, and they got a little close to the door. I was a little concerned, but we're okay. It's all good. The Miller Lite Fan Fest starts now, all day long and all day strong. We have Nate Bucati and Jake Gutierrez back in studio. My man Dylan Michaels has helped out here at the crack of dawn, setting up equipment. And Nate, I took a page from your book, and he went to he got coffee, and I got some hot tea. So. Because the throat is, the voice is bad. I'm battling, you know what though? But I will not give in. Especially now that I got some hot tea with honey, so.
You got a big day ahead of you. You gotta pace yourself.
Yeah. Well, you'll be, well, aptly named Nate the Crutch Bucati. Because I'll be leaning on you today, my man. I'll be there. Thumbs up. I just don't know how long the voice is going to hold out. But, hey.
We're going to have some fun down there today.
Will we?
Heck, yeah.
You're a big UCF guy, aren't you?
Oh, man. I've spent a lot of time on the campus at UCF, actually, over the past few past month and a half. I've been there three times.
So. Kansas is gone, so adopt a team.
All right. Go Knights.
Wow.
That'll last for a day.
What if they pull the upset?
Wait, they didn't even make it to this round, did they?
Yes.
Did they? I can't even remember.
Were you here yesterday?
I was, but...
Okay, yeah. Jake, you want to weigh in on this? Jesse Newell, anyone want to help me out with this conversation? Or?
I'll let Jesse handle that one.
No, you guys are doing great.
Are we?
All over it.
Yeah.
Let's find out. To BYU yesterday.
I'm just checking.
Ah. Man.
I'm trying to see what you know and what you don't.
There were not a lot of BYU fans I didn't see at the Power and Light yesterday. There were a couple. I saw like two or three Central Florida fans. Saw a few Cincinnati fans, not a ton. I'm going to be very interested to see if Houston travels up here very well, because they're obviously they should be expecting a great run in the tournament. But the fact that K-State won is huge, because that means no matter what, tomorrow there's at least going to be K-State or Iowa State fans filling
right
up the P&L. That's huge.
That's right. That's right. So we have a good atmosphere and a good environment no matter what happens because of that 6 o'clock matchup. But honestly, I mean, Jesse Newell, if you're not a fan of any of the local schools and you're just a fan of college basketball, there's a quality matchup at 11:30, a battle of top 25 teams, BYU. The men of BYU take on Texas Tech. BYU ranked 20th in the nation. Texas Tech, number 25. And right now, BYU favored by 3.5. Then TCU, if you want to see the number one team in the nation, you can do that too. TCU takes on Houston. Houston is favored by 10.5. And then the matchup that we thank the basketball gods for, Kansas State and Iowa State, which mean things are going to be hopping tonight. Iowa State favored by 7.5. And then Cincinnati, fresh off their win over Kansas, taking on Baylor. Baylor is favored by 6.5. And so that's what we have set up for the quarterfinals today in the Big 12 tournament. Jesse Newell, how are you doing today, my man?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, we're going to get through this. I was telling Nate I had a little coughing issue here last week, but it sounds like I've got some cough drops. You got some tea. We're going to get through this.
Yep, that's exactly right. Do you have any anything you like there based on the lines that I offered up as Jake is looking to really make things happen today in the quarterfinals? He had an uneven night. He took K-State in the money line, which worked out well, and then he ignored every possible sign pointing towards him not to bet on Kansas, and not only bet on Kansas, but took a money line, and that blew up in his face. Do you have anything that you feel strongly about based on the matchups today?
Not off the top. You know, I've gotten more into the live betting streets, which
is
sort of, yeah.
There you
Jake,
go.
That's so dangerous, man.
Oh, it's so fun.
I didn't say it wasn't fun. I said it was dangerous.
Oh, you know.
But those streets.
As long as your mortgage is paid, you're good.
It is. It is. I guess maybe a little BYU. That'd probably be the one. I like BYU at that line. And, man, they can fill it up from the outside. I mean, if you want to talk about a team that's the opposite of Kansas when it comes to three-point shooting and being able to beat you 3 points at a time, that would be the BYU Cougars. Plus, I think that they also got like a little inspirational message from Andy Reid before this whole thing started.
Wow.
So,
did they?
Yeah. So I think that this is maybe this is all trending toward them covering that number that you talked about earlier.
Doggone it, guys. Go out there.
I like that.
Shoot that ball.
I'm rooting for it.
Here's a quick note from the NFL. Adam Schefter just reported that the Lions have announced contract extensions for GM Brad Holmes and head coach Dan Campbell that will keep them with the team through 2027. And also, the Royals have announced there will be two more Hall of Famers this year in addition to Bo Jackson. They have announced former general managers Cedric Tallis and John Schuerholz have been inducted, and the induction ceremony will take place on June 28th. So congratulations to all of the Royals Hall of Fame inductees. Now we need to talk about everything that's going on with the Chiefs free agency. And it all started with the team bringing back Drew Tranquil and then re-signing Chris Jones to a monster deal. And now Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs restructuring his contract. They've brought back Deion Bush and James Winchester and Mike Pinnell. And they've lost several players, including Tommy Townsend and Willie Gay. So let's just kind of do a state of the team and where they are right now as far as the salary cap and what you think they're going to do. Because we're still waiting for the luxurious Sneed shoe to drop. But because of everything that they've done, they can keep luxurious Sneed if they want to. They have some leverage. They don't have to, take any trade that's given to them out of, any offer given to them out of necessity. They can hold on to luxurious Sneed if they don't get an offer to their liking. And so what do you think is going to happen next? Where are we headed with the Chiefs and this salary cap space that they have?
Yeah, I mean, I think you talked about it pretty well. You know, the Snead thing is it's sort of become like the Tyreek Hill part, where a couple of years ago, it wasn't just the Chiefs trading Tyreek Hill and getting the draft compensation. It was getting those $30 million that were locked up that he was going to take. You know what I mean? And the Chiefs are in a position right now after they signed Chris Jones to that, really, really big contract that Snead is not only just, okay, can you get a second-round pick for him? It's can you free up that $19 million to go spend it elsewhere and to use those resources on a different position that might not be as needy as cornerback is right now? So that seems to be, to me, the sort of linchpin in this whole thing. And we talked with Brett Veach earlier this offseason about how they always have contingencies, Here's the path they want to go down if they sign Chris Jones. If they don't sign Chris Jones, here's the path you potentially go down. And so we obviously know that they're down that path with signing Chris Jones. And we know that doing that and at the dollar amount that they did, Gehrig and Sherm talked about it really well last hour. The Chiefs paid Chris Jones a lot of money. Like Chris Jones won this negotiation. You know what I mean? If the Chiefs would have done this deal last year, they wouldn't be locked into Chris for three more years, and they probably would have gotten him at a lower number. And Chris went out. He balled out. He had a great season. They won the Super Bowl, and now the Chiefs are chasing that three-peat. And so Chris got what he wanted. And because Chris got what he wanted, you know, the Chiefs have been very limited in what they can do in free agency at this point. And I know you guys were kind of going over some names. Hey, would you want to sign this guy or this guy? I mean, the Chiefs basically, other than Drew Tranquil and Chris Jones, they're just signing guys to the vet minimum. You know, they're not going out there and like, oh, let's get the top of the prize when it comes to this position or that position. They're filling out the rest of their roster because Patrick Mahomes costs money, and Chris Jones now costs a lot of money, and you've got other guys that you potentially want to lock up down the road when it comes to guys like Creed Humphrey, who are eligible to be able to be extended. So it kind of leaves the Chiefs in a holding pattern. Now, this is not bad on its face. I mean, teams don't win typically. Teams do not win seasons, off seasons, by spending on the first 3 or 4 days of free agency. You're trying to plug holes. And the fact of the matter is the Chiefs don't have many holes, which is a positive that you want to have. And really where the Chiefs made their mark last year, if you remember, was the second week of free agency when they got the Drew Tranquils, the Mike Edwards of the world, and kind of picked those guys. Charles Omenihu, they got those guys who kind of had fallen and had not gone through the first wave of free agency. So the Chiefs still have some work to do here, but it does seem like the Snead transaction or lack thereof is kind of what's holding everything up. And we know they need a receiver. We know they need an offensive tackle. And potentially another defensive tackle, whether that's in the draft or free agency. But right now, all that seems to be kind of held up at the moment to figure out what are they going to do with Snead? Are they going to trade him? Is another team ready to give them that second-round type of price? And if so, then they can kind of move on the rest of their offseason and go out and maybe get some free agents that they are needing to fill out their roster.
We're looking for the partner, the most likely partner for the Chiefs to have in a trade for L'Jarius Sneed. I thought Detroit made sense, and they went out and traded for Carlton Davis with Tampa. I mean, I guess they could still trade for Sneed, but it doesn't seem likely. The Titans were a popular name also, and they have spent a boatload of money, including the gigantic contract they gave Calvin Ridley. But now they don't have to draft a receiver, and so maybe they might be willing to give up their second-round pick for L'Jarius Sneed. But right now, the team that has a lot of smoke around them, the Indianapolis Colts. And so that could be a team as well that could be interested in L'Jarius Sneed. And so if we look and see what they have as far as draft capital, their second-round pick is number 46 overall. And then they have a third-round pick, number 82 overall. What do you think right now would get it done as far as the Chiefs' side of things? Because I think, and you could agree or disagree, I think they're waiting for the right offer, and if they don't get it, then they'll keep him. But if they hear what they need to hear, they'll trade him. What do they need to hear?
Yeah, I think somewhere in that second-round range, and maybe 46 is too high, and maybe you can maneuver things. You know, the other part of this that's – I know it's difficult to stomach because you want to be able to get that pick and use it this year, but even if a team couldn't trade this year's second-rounder, could you get next year's second-rounder? I mean, we all know the Chiefs have been so good at staying patient in this whole game where – they've just taken value where it's been there, and they've tried to keep this window really open for Patrick Mahomes to go out there and have a chance to be competitive every single year. I mean, this past year is a perfect example. I mean, we weren't sitting here before the Miami game and saying, well, this team is right on the path to win a Super Bowl, you know what I mean? But you give yourself a chance. You put yourself in the game. And so we saw here the what's happened the last few weeks. I mean, the Bills are cutting everybody. The Ravens have lost so much talent. These teams, the Miami, I mean, these teams the Chiefs beat in the playoffs, they're in a better position than right now because they've been really steadfast and smart about their offseason moves and taken value when it's there. So I agree with you, Steve. I mean, there is a certain price where, like, if you just don't get it, if you're the Chiefs, you just say, okay, L'Jarius at $19 million, they like him. He's a good fit. You know, he can be in the defense another year and is able to, you know, you can try to continue to work on a long-term contract with him throughout the year. But it does make a lot of sense to move on and to get that money back, to have a little bit more flexibility to do what you want to do in the offseason, and then obviously let some other guys step up there because you've shown an ability to get other defensive players in the secondary room to be able to play well, you might as well let those guys step in and do that. So I think a trade makes the most sense, but again, the Chiefs might have to get creative to be able to do that.
Nate, Jake, the Colts, number 46 overall, would that get it done for you?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep, and I think Jesse's point to that frees up some flexibility where you can, you know, there are some veteran corners on the market that will cost, you know, $10 million less than Snead will. You know, Stephon Gilmore's out there. He's probably going to get like a one-year $9 or $10 million deal. You can find stop gaps that you can build around, and then you can free up that $10, $11 million if you do want to go get that wide receiver.
Do they need to find a stop gap, or are those stop gaps on the roster already with the two guys that played last year and the guy that tore his ACL before the season started?
That's what I'd argue, and I mean, I talk about it every week, but it's like the Chiefs have the secret sauce here, whether it's Steve Spagnuolo, whether it's Dave Merritt, their secondary coach. They are able to draft. I mean, they took five cornerbacks in that 2022 draft, and like, who's been a disappointment so far?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Not one.
Not Jalen Watson, the seventh rounder. Not Joshua Williams, the fourth rounder. Not Brian Cook, the second rounder. I mean, he got hurt, but again, safety. Trent McDuffie? No, you're not regretting that one. And then Nazi Johnson just didn't get a chance to show it because of his knee injury. So NFL teams are using so much of their draft resources on cornerbacks and just hoping that they hit. And the Chiefs don't have to hope. They hit. You know what I mean? That's what they do. The other thing I kind of keep thinking about as well with Legarius Sneed, I think the reason the Chiefs love him, I mean, you heard yesterday, Bill Self talking about, hey, he wants KU to get swag back. You know what I mean? Like, he wants them to walk around like the Baz boys on the block. Like, I think Sneed does that for the Chiefs. You know what I mean? Like, he plays with a physicality where, like that one time in the playoff game where he knocks Tyreek Hill down to the ground and just basically stands over the top of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 30 below zero. And, you know, there could be a moment where you're not sure your defenders want to be there. And he does that, and, like, the whole team, the sidelines jazz up. Everybody is just going crazy. There was a point, I think, a couple years ago with the Chiefs defensively where they really needed some physicality. You know, I mean, they needed somebody to come down and hit you. And I think when they signed Justin Reed, that helped. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It brought some pop to them. You know, they have a guy like Drew Tranquil now who's a little more physical in that regard. But I think another team, if you're out there, you're looking for a defensive identity. You're looking for something that you don't have right now. Sneed could be a really good fit to say, hey, the defense last year, if we're just being honest, was a little bit soft. And this guy can bring in that sort of mentality that this defense doesn't have and can set a tone. So, again, I don't know if that's the Colts, I don't know if it's the Titans, whoever it is, but I could definitely see a team going out there and saying, this guy's value is a little bit more than even on his on-field production, because he can go out there and set a tone defensively of physicality that might not be there before or the team didn't have before that really could be used in a certain team setting.
I thought that was the Lions. I think they'll regret not trading for Legarius Sneed. We'll take a break. We have Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star in studio. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, I got a whole bunch of stuff I want to ask Jesse Newell, and I want to maybe do a rapid fire so I don't, because my mind is a mess and I don't want to forget anything. Were you surprised at the minimal contract that Willie Gay signed with the Saints?
No, not really. Good for him, first off, to go get an opportunity. And I know this last year was sort of seemed like it was difficult for him. You bring in Drew Tranquil, and you know, the Chiefs won a Super Bowl, but that kind of was a, when everybody was healthy, it was sort of a weird thing for everyone to pull. You know what I mean? But the Chiefs made the most of it, obviously, and won in the end. But this is something I think we talked about for a long time with him, which was sort of like, off-ball linebackers are very available in free agency, and that's probably the place you should target them. It's the reason the Chiefs got Drew Tranquil on such a good deal last offseason, and it seemed pretty apparent, even from Willie Gay's words during the regular season last year, that the Chiefs had sort of made known that they preferred Tranquil over him. So, not really. This is not disparaging here, but, like, that's a position that, if you have a really good one, You like it and you're happy about it, but it's not as important as some other positions in football. And so, again, Willie Gay gets to reunite with some of those guys down there, you know, Colin Saunders and Tyrann Mathieu. So that'll be good for him. But not too surprised about that one. And again, it seemed like the writing was on the wall for a while that the Chiefs were going to move on from Willie Gay.
Okay, so yesterday the Eagles and Jake Elliott reached agreement on a 4-year, $24 million contract extension. And that the $6 million average per year ties Elliott with Justin Tucker for highest paid kicker in NFL history. At some point, Harrison Butker is going to deserve to become the highest paid kicker. And you know what? Man, I might find a way to pay him. Because, you know, in all of, we talk about all the big plays that Mahomes and Kelsey and Chris Jones and guys have made in these Super Bowl runs. Think about the number of high pressure, high difficulty kicks that Harrison Butker has made. Think about that kick at the end of regulation of the 13-second game. That wasn't a gimme. Think about the kick and the difficult conditions at the end of the AFC Championship win over Cincinnati. Think about the high pressure kicks he's had to make in the last two Super Bowl victories. He's just been phenomenal, but he's going to be expensive, and he's going to deserve it. When it comes time where he is going to want to be the highest paid kicker in the NFL, you think the Chiefs are going to do it?
I don't know.
Because if there's ever a guy that deserved it, he's the one.
So
I mean, I put him up against anyone as far as high pressure kicks. In any kind of environment or circumstances, he's absolute money.
So I sort of have two wavelengths thinking about this. For one is like the rational part of this, which is like kickers from year to year are pretty random. You know what I mean? And you can have a good year the year before, and the next year can be not as good. And even we're talking about Butker, I mean, he was hurt the year before, but his year before was not very good, you know what I mean? And he solidified it for the playoffs. So my inclination would be, if you're looking at just kind of the big picture of the NFL, you say, no, you don't give the resource to that guy, and you find somebody else. The other part of that is, like, we just saw what the Chiefs did with their punter, right? I mean, Tommy Townsend's been pretty good over the course of his career. He didn't have his best year this past year, but, you know, the Chiefs moved on pretty quickly from him to be able to take, you know, he had Drew Rosenhaus as his agent. Kind of the writing was on the wall with that one as well. And so they got Matt Araiza, and he's in. He's going to make the minimum. And
can I stop you right there, though? Couldn't you say that a place kicker is far more important than a punter because the game could literally come down to whether or not the guy makes the kick, and it has several times for the Chiefs?
You could. I would just say what you're trying to lock in is not what you're locking in. You know what I mean? Even the fact, like, even the Chiefs getting Harrison Butker, right? Like, they gave him the job over a guy who was the supposed veteran, reliable guy. And the only reason they got Butker is because they said, nah, we think that this guy is better, has a stronger leg, and is going to be, you know, better for the long term than the guy we currently have. So, listen, there's emotional reasons for this, and there's obviously reasons. If you talk to Harrison Butker, I mean, I think we all like the guy from talking to him in the locker room and the way he goes about things, and he has a systematic way of doing things. He obviously trains in the off season, and he's in really good shape. All those things that would make you think he's going to age gracefully. I just, if you're the Chiefs, it's we're getting to a point where push comes to shove. You know what I mean? Like, right now, they don't have money for a lot of these other fun things that other teams do. And that's not necessarily a negative. I mean, you got Chris Jones, you got Patrick Mahomes, but, like, we're seeing them cut some corners in other places. And so that's where you see, like, punter, they're just like, hey, you like Tommy Townsend, but if he's going to ask for $3 million, he's got to move on. You got to have another punter. And so there's emotional reasons. And, again, you said all the things. It seems like Andy Reid has a comfort level with Harrison Butker to the point where he kind of sees him as a security, like, where some of these fourth down decisions where the Chiefs probably should go for it, they kick the field goal, but it's okay because he makes the field goal and he made those huge kicks. But I just don't know if I'm the Chiefs, I could just bank on it always happening for Harrison Butker just because of overtime what would happen. But again, if anybody was going to be the one to buck the trend and or anyone you have a little bit of emotional attachment to. That's going to be Harrison Butker. So it is complicated when you're kind of trying to put left brain and right brain together on this particular decision. But, you know, and in saying that, I think he's making over $3 million with the Chiefs this year. So it's not like, mm-hmm. it's not like they're not paying him right now. But, again, if you're talking about, God, what would he be? $7 million, $8 million a year if he's getting the new one? That might be a bridge too far for me if you're the Chiefs, because you figure that there's going to be a young kicker out there who can do some of the same things and kick the ball really far and potentially give you 80 or 90% of that production at a fraction of the cost when we know they're going to be pinching pennies with the contracts they have on the books.
The Pats rolled with Vinatieri until he was 33 years old and then let him go to the Colts. And so, you know.
And Butker's 29 right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be a good comparison. The other observation I made, good God, are guards getting paid? Which is a warning now. What's Trey Smith going to get? And even, you know, interior offensive lineman, what's Creed Humphrey going to get? And now we see Nick Allegretti. It could have been interesting to think if maybe they would have looked ahead and somebody proposed the idea of maybe they should have traded Trey Smith and signed Nick Allegretti to that kind of deal and you know, got a draft pick and saved some money. But they're going to have to do something. What did you think about how the guard and the interior offensive line market exploded and what that means to the Chiefs moving forward?
Yeah, guard and running back were kind of the two that have gone off in free agency. Obviously, receiver has as well, where it's looking a little bit more difficult, or maybe the price have gone a little bit higher than you would have expected. You know, the Chiefs have some interesting options there. We talked with Brett Veach. I asked him at the Combine about Creed Humphrey, who's an interesting case, because it's like, I asked him, do you see Creed Humphrey with an extension as a center or a guard? And he said, both, sort of, which was interesting because we know the snaps late in the season in the Super Bowl weren't great. And so, I don't know, if I'm the Chiefs there, you could get pretty creative. I mean, I know they like Trey Smith. Trey Smith's an amazing guy. What is his value when it comes to a trade, that sort of thing? I don't know. But for Creed, it's almost like, since he is a center right now and you can negotiate with him in a couple months, can you negotiate with him as a center, get him locked in, and then potentially down the line, if it doesn't work out, get yourself another center? Again, it's trying to work these markets to the best of your ability, and we know Creed Humphrey is going to, or we think, I would assume Creed Humphrey is going to be with this team for a long time. If that's the case, you know, you get him locked up, and then you figure out exactly what's going to happen, where you put him, all those sorts of things. But center seems like the cheapest one right now, and so if you move him to guard down the line, maybe that's the way to do it. But the Chiefs at least have options there and young options, and they like the guys they have, so that's a positive thing.
Really interesting to see what happens moving forward. We'll take a break back after this on WHP. Okay, we only have a few more minutes with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. And I'm down at Miller Lite Fan Fest. Come on and see me. Curtis Samuel, Mike Williams, Hollywood Brown, Tyler Boyd, who might be going to the Steelers. We'll see. Any of those gentlemen, will the Chiefs sign any of those receivers, in your opinion, Jesse Newell?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I know you talked about it with these guys last hour, and I was – listen, I guess if this is on the podcast, go listen to Sherman and Garrick. They give some good insight because I was like nodding my head as they were talking on these things. Like, I totally agree with him on Mike Williams and – potentially what they were talking about, which is like jump ball receivers, just that's not the Chiefs' thing. And even further to that point, like that's just not what Patrick Mahomes does. He throws to open guys, not to covered guys. And if you go back, if you guys want to do this and go Google, look at like Rashee Rice out of college, what his number one skill set was that people thought, that scouts thought. It was contested catches. Did we see, like, do you remember one contested catch from him last year for the Chiefs?
Not really.
I mean, maybe one. I'm still even struggling. Like, that was what he was talking up going into the draft. Like, I can be this contested catch guy. When it's a 50-50 ball, it's 70-30, it's 80-20. It's just not what the Chiefs do. I mean, that's not what they have. So As far as those other guys, yeah, I mean, I think if a Snead trade happens, I think they do want to get an MVS replacement, you know what I mean, who potentially has a little bit more pop to be able to do that. At a certain point, if I'm the Chiefs, I just maybe want to turn to the draft. We know it's really deep in receivers, and I know it takes those guys a while to get in with Patrick Mahomes, but what would Rashee Rice go for on the open market? A lot of money. And if you can get those guys, develop them, have them for 4 or 5 years, man, that's really hitting the jackpot for this particular team where it's very, very hard to pay for these free agent receivers because almost none of the good guys make it to free agency already. So I know that would take some patience, but if I'm the Chiefs at a certain point, I would just say it's time to go draft some guys and maybe rework your offense to make it easier on them to play right away. And if that happens, then you can have this thing locked up for a long time.
Great job, Jesse Newell. Lots of information from you, and we'll follow all your coverage on the Kansas City Star, on the website, and, of course, following you on X. Ain't that right, Nate Bucchetti?
Darn right. Great show today. Can't wait to come see you.
Well, just oozing with enthusiasm there.
I believe him.
It's going to be great.
Can't wait to come see you.
I'm ready for the Miller Lite Fan Fest.
There you go.
Yeah.
Use that MLS voice, buddy.
Go!
Oh,
coming down here for some basketball, Jesse?
What's that?
You coming down here for any basketball?
I'm not coming down there, but I'll be on the Jake plan at home, yeah, on the apps,
yeah,
doing all the fun stuff.
Can I just, as a friend,
yeah,
why don't you try to find yourself a different name for that plan?
it's a good
if
one.
If you'd like
Jake
to
plan.
Be successful with that. Just have it.
Oh, maybe, yeah, not successful. You're right.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you're asking for trouble there, buddy. That's all. All right? Well, there's only one man that could be on that plan, and that's Jake himself, and he's not even sure about that, but I love it. Thank you so much to Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Tomorrow, we'll talk about Jake live betting every single game today. He can do it because he's Jake, and this is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.